John, action item number 12, discussion and possible action on Lake Granger intake construction bids by David Collinsworth.
Going to build your watch, tell you a little bit about the process, why we need the intake, what's new with the project, where we're going, that whole kind of deal. When we started this project about 3 years ago, we got into it. We were unhappy with some of the directions the engineering firm we were using was taking us, so we stopped. We hired a new engineer, and we kind of started over. At that time, we came to the board and said, here's why we need the intake. We promise you this is going to be a reoccurring agenda item. I don't think we've let you down because we've been in front of the board quite a few times talking about the different moving parts of this project. There continues to be a lot of moving parts. Some of the stuff is still not done. So I'll explain to you what you're approving today or what we'd like you to consider, and then we'll talk a little bit about the future. You can go to the first slide, Jennifer. There's a lot going on this map. Here is the East Williamson County water plant. Here is the existing intake. Everything that's shaded in green is federal property. The dashed yellow-black line is the pipeline that we're proposing on private property. And then the red-black dashed line is the pipeline that we would build in the federal property on this way to the intake, which is down by the dam. In 2004, we had two issues we were trying to address. One was we had a short-term demand for treated water, and we had customers in Williamson County that needed water treatment capacity immediately. And then the second issue was this broad scale, how do you solve the water problems of Williamson County? And one of the solutions that we saw was to buy the East Williamson County water plant, which was a water treatment plant that the city of Taylor owned at the time. We went in and negotiated with those folks. We were able to buy the plant from them. Today, the plant provides water to the city of Taylor. It provides water through Taylor to the city of Hutto, city of Thrall, which is a small city, and then NOAC Water Supply Corporation, which is, it would be further down to the south and the east of this map. We also supply water to Jonah Sud out of this facility, which moves this water all the way to their customers that are on the CCN boundary with the city of Georgetown. And some of this water flows through Jonah Sud for citizens that are in Round Rock that are supplied water through Jonah Sud. So this water is moving quite a far way west into Williamson County. Now, I've often joked that we paid $5.1 million for the treatment plant, but we got the intake for free. It really wasn't a joke in July of 2007 when the floods basically destroyed the intake and we had to spend $500,000 getting it back up to speed. That included renting pumps, having guys out working around the clock to make sure that diesel pumps were moving water to those citizens. The intake has many challenges. The intake is built in the wrong location. It depends on who you talk to. If you talk to the Corps will shrug their shoulders and say, we don't know why the engineers put it where they did. But if you talk to the engineers swear that the Corps was pointing a gun at them saying, you're going to put it there no matter what. If you want an intake, that's where you're going to put it. I think probably what was the determining factor was you can see that this is much closer to the plant and the sheer financial aspects of getting water there were cheaper at the time. And at the time, they really didn't have an appreciation for how bad the reservoir was going to sediment. Any good reservoir manager knows that that's going to happen, and it certainly has. So we're prone to flood. We're in the shallow headwaters of the reservoir, so we're very prone to drought. During the last drought, and I don't know what year the last drought was. It seems like we're either in a drought or a flood now. But during the last drought, we got low enough at the lake that we were concerned that we would need a dredging project. So we went to the Corps and we got a permit to dredge the reservoir. So if the lake dropped about 10 feet in total, we could actually dredge and bring water back to the intake. All this time, we've been working with the Corps to develop this project. One more issue with the intake. We have, as it sets today, in the wrong location, we have two pumps. Both pumps are 6 million gallon a day pumps. So theoretically, I can cut both of them on and I can move 12 million gallons of water. But that's not the way TCEQ sees it. TCEQ recognizes your pumping capacity on your ability to move water with your largest pump out of service. So as far as TCEQ is concerned, our ability to move water today is 6 million gallons. And right now, we're treating a little over 5 million gallons out of the water. So even if we were to choose not to build a new intake, we would have to sink a lot of money into this intake just to get it up to standard to move the amount of water that we're going to need to move. But based on its location and all of the other risk associated with it, it just didn't make sense to us to put money into the intake. So we started the project of designing the intake. The new intake is going to be located in the deepest part of the reservoir. There's one other part of the reservoir that was a little bit deeper, but it's on the actual dam structure, and it was basically going to double the cost of the project. So we began working with the Corps on where we were going to put the intake and then how we were going to get the pipeline to the treatment plant. And basically, it's been a step-by-step procedure. We came to you guys. We got approval to go get a $22 million low-interest loan from the Texas Water Development Board. So that got them involved. So every step of the way, the Corps of Engineers has wanted to check what we're doing as far as the pipeline route goes and as far as the intake goes. So that's kind of the issues with the intake, where it's going to be located, and the pipeline to the treatment facility. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Jennifer, you can go to the next slide. This is a diagram of actual what the intake looks like. If you've been out to the Steelhouse intake or seen pictures of it or seen pictures of intakes on Belton or Possum Kingdom, you see these big catwalks out to these buildings that are over the water, and the pipes go into the water, and they really protrude far out into the lake, and that's not what this is. You can see there's a black line there for the water maximum water level, and the only thing that's going to be at the intake that you don't see is a building structure, and the building structure will actually be set over this sump pump. And it's basically to protect the pumps and to reduce the noise. So what we're going to do is we're going to go out onto the peninsula where the intake's going to be, and they're going to dig this big, huge sump. Then they're going to go in, and they're going to micro-tunnel out into the reservoir. So the general public, all they'll see is a building on the peninsula. And then obviously we'll have the markers out around top of the water level to keep folks out, but it won't be the eyesore that the Corps claims that some of the other intakes are. Also, we've worked with the Corps every step of the way to make sure, since this is going to be in a park, that we actually did a noise study just to make sure that the decibels that we were going to have in the pumps weren't going to keep campers up at night. Jennifer, would you go back to the previous slide? We chose the intake location because of its ability to provide us firm water during period of drought. But also, the maximum water level that you saw a minute ago, because we're on that peninsula, should we have another flood like we had in 2007, the intake is designed to withstand that flood because the level of the intake will allow the water to flow through the emergency spillway. So really, there's not a scenario that our engineers could find. I guess there is one, but there wasn't a 100-year or a 500-year flood that they could design this far that would allow this pump to be submerged underwater, which was good for us. So that's how we chose the route. That's how we chose the location of the intake. The route of the pipeline had to be chosen based on a lot of different variables. And the route of the pipeline and the construction of the pipeline on the private property is not in your packet today because that's we haven't gone out to bid for that. We worked with the Corps to try to figure out multiple routes. And when we did that, we went back to the Corps and said, okay, we have multiple routes here on private property, and we want to look at two routes on public property. And the Corps sent us a letter, and they said, look, it's federal policy. If you have a route other than a public route, the Corps takes the public route out of the information document. We had to do an environmental information document to supply the Corps so they could figure out how we were going to get there. We based our decision on a lot of different factors, but the Corps was involved in it, and so was the Water Development Board. Next slide. Next slide. Oh, you can go back. Let me wrap this up. A project like this, we have to go out for bid. So we prepare the bid packet. We go out publicly on the Internet through the newspapers. And then we have a pre-bid meeting where we invite folks in to come ask questions, learn more about the project, and then we sit down with the engineer and say, okay, look at who's interested in this project, who's pre-qualified, tell us who you think can do us a good job. And we came up with quite a few names. We went out for bid. The bids came in. They're in your diligent. I think we got six bids. The estimate from Fries & Nichols is that the project would come in at about $15.5 for this portion of the project, and actually it came in at $10.5. We were really surprised. Anytime you come in under budget, especially $5 million under budget, you get real concerned about one person lowballing you. But the interesting part of all those numbers is that we've got four bids that are within $1 million of each other. So they're all real tight-knit. Gives me a lot of confidence that they're accurate with that bid. So the bid that we're bringing to you today is to build the intake. It's to run the pipeline from the intake on the federal property, and it's also to deal with all the mitigation that we talked about a half a year ago. Any damage that we do in the core property, we have to go in and mitigate it. And they really played hardball with us, and when we leave there, that park will be much nicer than it was when we started our construction project. The other part, and then I'll be done, the other part of the resolution is to allow Phil to do change orders. And change orders are when we get in construction and the construction firm comes in and says, we don't like the way it's designed or there's a better way that we can do this. Actually, a lot of change orders end up saving us money. It allows Phil the flexibility to negotiate some different cost as far as change orders go.
David?
That was a lot of information. Yeah, any questions?
Part of that cost is the acquisition of right-of-way, is it?
No, sir.
Oh, the right-of-way acquisition is not in?
The right-of-way acquisition is not part of this. The total project budget, thanks for bringing that up, the total project budget when we started was $22 million. We came to you about a year later and said we think it's going to be about $25 million. And I can report that now that this has come in so far under budget, we think we're going to be somewhere between $20 and $22 million. And what we'll do is we'll come back to you in January, and we'll have the cost for constructing the pipeline, and in that cost will be the acquisition of the easements.
The gentleman that spoke to us today from the public session, did that have to do with it? Is he the property owner whose property that this pipeline is coming close to?
Can you go back to the map?
One of the property owners that
Mr. Ross, is this your property here? Right in here? The actual house that Mr. Ross was referring to is that's not your property, correct?
Okay.
And it's a few parcels of property.
Thank you for answering my question. My question I want to raise is we're having to go out and condemn property from private property owners when the federal government through the Corps of Engineers owns property whose land we could go through, but I read the letter, since there's private property condemnation opportunities available to us, they take their alternative off the table. Is that what we're dealing with here?
Yes, sir. That's what we were told in the whole process, is to protect public park property.
What about private owner? I mean, you don't have the answer to this.
No, I don't have the answer to that.
I'm just a little bit incensed by the fact that the federal government can force us to go out and condemn private property when the use of public, already paid for public property owned by the federal government, could probably save money and get the project done. So I sympathize with the gentleman who spoke this morning, and I just think it's something that we ought to at least be aware of. We can't do anything about it. I understand. But I just wanted to see what your thinking was on that. Thank you.
Other questions?
Obviously, that shows that pipeline is a straight line. It's not actually, is there variance to where that pipeline goes that could, once again, taking private property rights in consideration?
The only alternative would have been for us to build deeper or closer in to the highway right-of-way. And the implication of that is if TxDOT or the county, whoever owns that piece of property, comes to you and says, now we're expanding this highway and you've built in their easement, it's your cost to move that pipeline. So that was the risk we would have taken to build it further in. And actually it's as close to the right-of-way as we could get and stay out of it.
Yeah, David, how close is it to 1331?
I don't, David.
It's adjacent to the right of way.
It's just adjacent. What would the right of way be?
The permanent easement is 40 foot, so you're 20. This pipeline is centered on 40 foot each, so you're 20 foot from the right of way.
So you're 20 foot from the TxDOT right of way.
That's amazing.
Okay.
Any other questions for David? Go ahead.
David, if it were not for the regulation that we just spoke about, not the regulation, but the Corps' resistance to let us use their land, would the cost be less to build this pipeline? It looks like it's a lot shorter. It doesn't have a road to deal with like you just described. It looks like it's going through parklands. It seems to me that it would be considerably less cost.
It was actually more expensive to go on the public property. It was more difficult to clear the pipeline route. There were some waters, declared waters of the U.S. that we would have had to, some draws that we would have had to cross. And then there would have been the mitigation cost of the core property, and then the O&M would have been more expensive because our guys inspect these pipelines frequently. So it still would not have been the preferred choice, but we looked at all those different options. And we also looked at an option where we bored under the highway, had to bore under the highway and come down this side and bore back under, and it was more expensive also.
I'm not questioning the prudence of what we've done. I'm just making the making the point of the difficulty in dealing
right
the way we have to deal.
Oh, you had a question. Yes, ma'am.
We're being asked to approve the resolution, just the building of the intake structure, correct?
Everything on federal property. The building of the intake structure, the pipe that's in the orange to the private property, and the mitigation of the core park.
Okay, that was my question. So if we build the pipe through the public land and the route, for whatever reason, of the remaining pipeline changes, are we going to have any obstacles to tying into it?
If the public pipeline route changes. Well, first of all, this was the route that's in orange was the shortest, quickest route we could get off federal property, kind of mandated by them. So it, regardless of if our pipeline route changed, this is still the way we'd have to come off federal property. Because of the topography and the lake and the rest of their park, and this draw immediately to the east, that's basically, that was the route for getting out. Now, if we were to change, go back and start over and change our route on public property, we would still have to make it tie in to that. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
My question in regards to the budget, we're being asked to approve, you know, the $10.5 million today, but you mentioned the $25 million that's already in the budget as a total expected expenditures. So is that going to adjust the budget we just approved and increase it by that 10.5?
No.
For capital projects?
No. It's less, but do you have that in the capital budget is what the question is. And the answer is yes.
This amount's all in the capital budget.
Just not under the Lake Granger intake project?
Well, there's two projects because there's some that's going to be funded from the Texas Water Development Board loan, and then there's another that's going to be funded from our reserves. We'll use the money from the Water Development Board loan first, and that will more than fund, the amount available will more than fund this part of the project.
Okay, I see.
Only if we get further down will we have to get into our reserves.
Okay.
Ms. Belt, if you look at the pipeline projections that came in for the pipe on the federal property, and you compare you use those to come up with a budget for this pipeline on private property, it shows us coming in at around $20 million. But all it's going to take is a hurricane or some major event to drive up building costs. So we'll make the budget adjustment after we'll come to the board in January with the cost of that pipeline, those bids, and then we'll know for a fact what the pipeline's going to cost.
Okay. I hadn't caught on that this was going to be a funded project.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Dave, I think there's a resolution. If you would read that, please.
Be it resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes the General Manager CEO to negotiate and enter into a contract with Reynolds Incorporated for construction of the Lake Granger intake for $10,580,641. And be it further resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes the General Manager CEO to execute change orders in an amount not to exceed 5% or $529,032 contingency fund for the construction contract.
For the reading of the resolution, is there a motion to adopt? Motion by Ball. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Bennis. Please poll the board.
Presiding Officer DeCluitt.
Yes.
Director Christian.
Yes.
Director Adams.
Yes.
Director Ball.
Yes.
Director Barr.
Yes.
Director Bell.
Yes.
Director Belt.
Yes.
Director Bennis.
Yes.
Director Borland.
Yes.
Director Johnson.
Yes.
Director Kilgore.
Yes.
Director Mackey?
Yes.
Director Masterson? Director Munson?
Yes.
Director Scott?
Yes.
Director Tallis?
Yes.
Director Tesh?
Yes.
Great, thank you.